Rebel Radio is brought to you by Finn.com. Finn has been saving me hours and hours since I started using it by taking care of the tasks that I don't need to do myself. Leaves me more time to build my business, hang out with my family, try to get a hobby or something going. I don't know. I use it to make dinner reservations, travel plans. I even have them do research on my guests here for Rebel Radio. It's a great service. They know my preferences. You can have them make calls. I don't know who you need to call, but you could have them make calls for you. You could have them pay your bills. They're going to use your money, not, you know, don't get the wrong idea. But what I love about Finn is that it's always available, and you can hit them any way you like. You can call them on the phone, email them, use the website. There's a mobile app. Super easy, and get stuff taken care of that you don't need to be worrying about yourself. Just for listening to Rebel Radio, I'm going to hook you up. Go to Finn.com/Rebel. You can try Finn for free. That's Finn.com/Rebel.
Hey guys, Anastasia Ashley here, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
You checking out Rebel Radio?
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
Check it out, y'all. You're back with the number one show in the area. Rebel Radio is the weekly show where I talk to the rebels who are shaping youth culture. We find out how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show to bring you new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. And this week, we're back at the Collision Conference, and I'm talking to Anastasia Ashley. You might know her as a pro surfer. She's a model. She's a social influencer. She's built a huge following online. She's working with brands. And we just catch up pretty quickly. Short interview on the floor at Collision. If you're not familiar with the Collision Conference, you definitely want to get out there next year. It's going to Toronto. I think it's in May. I had a great time there. They were super helpful to me and saw some great speakers, met some great people. I can't recommend it highly enough. Anastasia Ashley is going to give us a few minutes of insights into what it was like growing up as a pro athlete, how she started working with brands and how she thinks about that. And how she knew it was kind of time to shift gears in her career. Good stuff coming up right after our EDM.com track of the week. With Louis Vuitton. You might know the Gucci gang. You might know about Versace. Now you got Louis Vuitton. Our EDM.com track of the week. Get over to EDM.com, check out more new music, and let's get into our interview with Anastasia Ashley.
This is Louis Vuitton. I just went by and go home. I just went by and go home.
Yeah, of course.
I'm excited to talk to you. I've been hearing about you from Justin and seeing bits and pieces online. But it seems like you have an amazing story.
Yeah.
So let's find out about it.
Yeah, I mean, my backstory is I've been a professional surfer for over 20-something years, pretty much my whole life. And
crazy.
I started surfing when I was 5, shortly then after competing.
Yeah.
I traveled all around the world. It was my life. I lived, breathed, slept it. Wholehearted it, and I competed, I did big wave stuff, I did a a mixture of all types of things in the sport. And yeah, and then to bring me to where I'm at now and what I do is I've always, you know, produced videos and photos, and that was always part of my sponsorship deals per se. And now in the last couple of years I've got to do that, which has been really excited just for my own platforms. Which is really fun, because when I started out competing and stuff, it was, you were doing it for sponsors and there wasn't really a place to put it necessarily, right. Being a surf video that like only some people maybe saw.
Sure.
So yeah, so it's been a really fun ride and transition to what I do now from what I started out doing.
So, well, first of all, what brings you to Collision? I know you've spoken at Web Summit. And,
yeah, and, no.
Why do you want to come to stuff like this?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, why not, right?
Okay.
That's my theory. Yeah, I mean, like, I love sharing my experiences with people and also connecting with really interesting and different people from different walks of life. And.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of the stuff I do now is in the internet and tech, and it's very helpful to what I do now. So it's a great place to come and see. And, you know, obviously I'm a little geeky too, so.
Are you? I don't know if that's obvious.
Yeah, my inner geek comes out when you see little robots going around you, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the suitcase that follows you?
I have not seen that yet, but I am going to go find it.
I saw it on like a Facebook ad like 2 weeks ago, and now I saw it running around here.
Oh, I love that.
So it's like, it's this, you'll see it. It's, I guess it's a suitcase, but it looks like it's almost like a BB-8. Like it's just these big wheels.
Yeah.
And I guess it follows your app or whatever, so you don't have
awesome.
To like, hold it.
Or, yeah. It's crazy. Well, I'm gonna go find that.
That's gonna be, people are gonna be falling over those in the airport.
Yeah, so, yeah. I can't wait.
You're like on a bird scooter with your suitcase
following you. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. I know you said you started surfing at 5, competing at 6, which is crazy. I have an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And like, I'm worried that we've already missed our opportunity. I've talked to, I spent some time with like professional race car drivers. Same thing. They said like those kids start at 5 on the go-karts.
Yeah.
Okay. This question always tells me a lot about a person. So do you remember the first record you ever bought?
Yeah, I do. Now, do I want to admit it?
Are you gonna tell me what it is?
Yeah. I can't remember the order of which I bought, but actually there's two. Well, no, actually the first one I do remember, Fugees.
Oh, that's a good.
That's, yeah, that's I had a great music taste. The score?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Second one that I remember, but this is why it's weird, because that one stands out, and then my other favorite one was the first Britney Spears album.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, kids, that's how it goes. So, okay.
But Britney Spears was my first concert I ever went to.
I heard it
was one of her first shows she did before she was like a superstar.
I never saw her, but I'm sure she puts on a good show.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, so you're a kid growing up surfing. At what point do you realize that that's your career?
Yeah, for me, I realized it really right away, actually. Like, it was my career before I was paid to do it.
Sure.
It was ingrained in me. I was very much so... I was always athletic, but I was never really good in other sports.
Okay.
So
what else did you play?
I tried every sport. I did soccer. I did softball. I did, I was a big swimmer. I was good at swimming. Anything in the water, I was good at.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the other stuff, basketball, I tried it all, you name it, and tennis. And yeah, and then I didn't really have that natural click. And with surfing, I did. And then I realized, like, right away that I was, like, very talented, very young, and that nice. I could, you know, do this. But I also had a lot of people telling me, too, from a very young age that, like, you're going to be the next big thing, you know? So wow. You need to focus your time on this, nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was there a first kind of break?
Like a big break?
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be a double.
Oh, right.
First break, you know? Yeah, there was actually when I was about 9, obviously I had like done really well in events and stuff too, but when I was about 9, I made the finals in the national amateur championships, which the age was open for mm-hmm. women. It was a lot of people in high school are saying I was 9 and I beat a lot of people who were like 16 to 18 to 20 years old or whatever. And, yeah. And that was like the first time that, I got recognition on a big scale level, because I was in all the surf magazines and all the publications were back in the day magazines. Uh-huh. That was like the big, like kind of big break moment for me. And, and that's kind of what.
So how does that change the game for you?
From then or?
Yeah, like
yeah.
From then to after, right?
Yeah, like I think that was the first time after that I got sponsors that were giving me not money, like not like a salary, but they were paying me then to travel.
Right.
And that was like when I was like 9, 10 years old. So that was a really big deal. If someone wanted to give you it's still a big deal if someone wants to give me a free trip now. I'm like, great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're 10, like.
Yeah,
yeah. That's cool. Is that a good way to grow up? It's not really a fair question, but.
No, I mean, I think it's an interesting question because I think a lot of people, and I don't have children yet, so it'll be interesting when I do have my own kids to see how I'll be with them with their passions or sports or
sure.
school or whatever. But, you know, a lot of my friends, myself included, that are professional athletes, more or less, like, it's a very hard childhood because you don't really have the free time to play with your friends or do event, like, different
sure.
things. Like, I am... For me, like, I miss a lot of birthdays, a lot of schooling events, a lot of school. Like, I miss a lot of school. Like, I, you know, a lot of sleepovers at the time, which was, like, a really big deal for me growing up. Like, you know, missing the sleepover. Because all my weekends were taken, basically. So, I mean, it's you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to work really hard as a child into my teens so that I could have a really fun 20s now into my 30s.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's interesting because a lot of other professional athletes I talk to, and I'm sure you as well, like you hear though, like the, you know, your time as a
sure.
kid is very, it's a hard, I wouldn't say a bad or a good way. It's just a challenging way to grow up.
I mean, I think, like, consistently on this show, the thing that comes up, I just talked to Jillionaire from Major Lazer this morning, and it's like everybody says the same thing, is that being successful in anything is just work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's more work than probably most people are willing to do or realize.
Right.
Yeah, obviously it's different when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what it is, right?
Well, I kind of think it's like, you know, I think even my friends that are successful or becoming successful now, it's like they put in their work in their whole teens and 20s where I did the kind of groundwork like as a young kid, which was partly because of my parents, you know, pushing me to or keeping me in line, which is an interesting subject too, because I think a lot of people are pushed, but I also believe in that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even again, I don't have kids yet, but I know I've been around kids. Kids are all over the place, you know? Sure. So it's like, I think you have to have someone or something keeping you kind of in line, because I think it could, even now, I need someone who, not a parent, but I need someone to keep my focus. Otherwise, right. I can be all over the place too.
Sure. So I know you work with brands. Sounds like you've been working with brands your whole life, pretty much. And I saw the Samsung stuff, Toyota. There's a cruise line.
Yeah.
I mean, you're good at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it comes really natural, because you mentioned I've worked with brands like my whole life.
Yeah.
Like, even like I mentioned, like I was doing essential, like sponsored, I was having sponsorships, which would be now like a sponsored partnership.
Uh-huh.
But back in the day when I was like, you know, 7 years old and doing catalog shoots then, and you know, for brands, not necessarily as a model, but as like a spokesperson. So it's I feel like I've had more or less the same job for like the last 20 years. It's just different a little bit now. It's online, whereas before it used to be a little more in the real world. So it comes pretty naturally to me.
Hey, if you're enjoying this one and you like the whole pro athlete theme, we haven't had a lot of athletes on this show, but early on we had the Professor. You might know him from the N1 mixtape tour. He's got this great YouTube videos where he's Spider-Man. I don't want to spoil it for you, but he dresses up in Spider-Man costume and goes and challenges people to basketball, one-on-one basketball. He had some great stories from his journey. If you want to go back into Rebel Radio archives and check that out on iTunes or SoundCloud.
So what's, when you enter into a brand partnership, what are you looking for besides the money?
Right.
And like, what's the right way for brands to engage?
I mean, I think for me, like, I'm a big brand like user. Like, I use so many different brands on a daily basis, so like I get excited about working with like random brands that people probably don't think are that cool or that interesting or that fun. I also work with tons of brands, but I'm like one of those people that I get really excited on you know, even like these brands that are like flagship, you know, household brands that have been around for 50 years or that you grew up using. And like for me, I guess anything I look for is just, I think I just get really excited too that people want to support me in what I do and to, you know, support my career ultimately. And that's kind of always been the game for me in a sense, because, you know, having sponsors for me is what allows me to be a professional athlete, and even though now I don't compete anymore, it still allows me to go on great surf trips and shoot surfing stuff. So really, when I look at like, I guess, a brand partnership, it's really like something I get excited about, which I get upset about a lot of things, but
it's a good quality.
Yeah, but it also, it's fun, you know, being able to have creative control and being able to come up with an idea, which that's again like a great thing with working with a brand, and especially now with all the influencer stuff, is that more than ever they let you come up with your own concept to speak to your audience and speak to what you think people are going to react to, which is, you know, back in the day, like when I used to do brand and stuff, it was very much so like a commercial where
I'd
even read, I'd literally be reading scripts of words I'd never say. So now it's pretty awesome because I get to speak in my own words. So really it's,
that's cool.
It's having people allowing me to do that, which is pretty fun.
What do you think? Obviously you make a lot of content, you have a big following. What can brands learn from you about engaging audiences?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting right now, because a lot of brands themselves are influential and have like followings and do a lot of fun stuff. I think what they can learn from, I guess, like someone like myself, me, would be that, you know, really, I guess, catering to like who their audience is, or and also like, but then also not being too stuck on one thing, because I think some people, like some brands, I see this a lot, like a lot of iconic brands will try to do something that's completely different that my generation, or you know, like thinks, okay, that's what that brand's for and this is their voice, and then they'll try to rebrand themselves as like something completely crazy, which is you don't want to alienate your own you know, you can't like flip the script too much, so I think that's but at the same time you want to do fun things, so I think they can learn from, you know, I guess staying true to yourself.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, it's a challenge for a lot of people to be in the public eye, especially now, and it's obviously changed a lot from when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Everything you do is out there, whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah.
And brands struggle with that, personalities like struggle with that. So how do you, having done this kind of your whole life and been a public figure, how do you keep your sanity?
Yeah, I think for me personally, it's always been a thing of I think there's a whole world out there, and I get really excited about doing new things, trying new things, and not being too stuck in what I'm doing, even though I've done the whole, basically the same thing for my whole life. But also, I think just being excited and also having like gratitude and being thankful, because I think a lot of people, if you're known for something for years, or you know, a public figure, it's very easy to take advantage of that and to be non-grateful. And so I think having kind of the sense of being grateful and you know, being, as you would say, like, I guess, rooted in reality of, you know, that, like, myself, like, I have worked very hard, but I am also very blessed to have been able to do that in my life and to accomplish what I've done and also to be where I'm at. So I think having that gratitude is really what keeps me in line.
That's big. Tell me about the decision to retire from competition.
Yeah, so for me, like, my decision to not compete full-time anymore wasn't necessarily a hard one. I'm a perfectionist, and I'm very hard on myself, and I want to win. And so for me, when I felt like I was showing up to events, not giving it my 100%, and not feeling proud about my performance, because even for me, there's a difference of being, you know, proud of winning or losing, but you could win an event and not be that good.
Right.
Or not have a great performance.
Sure.
So, you know, I was still doing decently, but my performance wasn't there because I wasn't able to give 100% like I was when I was younger. And so for me, it wasn't that hard of a decision to say, you know, I'm not going to really do events. I'm not going to do specific events unless I'm 100% all in.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's cool.
And for me too, like, I haven't said I'm not going to compete anymore.
Okay.
It's just that at this time,
right,
till I do my events that I'm going to give 100% to, I'm going to wait.
So as you make that transition and you start focusing on other things, what's a lesson that you learned from surfing that you apply to the rest of life?
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, just, you know, things are a lot of work. lot of hard work, a lot of hours, and I think that's anything in life is time and energy and effort. And I think that definitely surfing in my career and getting to that level where I was at, like, I know what it took to do that. So anything else I do, and my lesson, life lesson from that was that you have to keep, like, you know, it's never, and also too, even it's never a once, even if you are somewhere, that you got to keep working at it, because
sure,
things are always changing, and yeah, so it's just, I guess, working really hard and giving it your 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the vision? Where are you going next?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely think about that all the time, of like, what I'm doing next, what I'm doing this. I'm very content in the now, and like, okay, what's going on right now, and I like that. I mean, I think, you know, I've been very, again, fortunate and blessed, and had like a lot of fun in the last couple of years, and you know, I'm very happy in the now. What's next is, you know, what's happening right now.
Okay.
Yeah, having a good time.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a little lightning round before I let you go.
Okay.
Tell me one decision that changed your life forever.
You know, I don't really have probably just one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably a series of things. And I think for me, I don't think it was ever necessarily one decision. I'd say a theme was, you know, always keep going on and never getting discouraged.
That's
probably because, and learning to, you know, appreciate my losses and try to learn from them.
So when you say not getting discouraged, is there something you do? Is something you tell yourself? Is there like a trick to that, or is it
no,
just...
No, I think there's not necessarily a trick to that. It's more for me like just learning that, or that knowing that like losing isn't bad. That it's, you know, a bigger picture, and that like everything, whether it be a surfing thing or a business thing, winning or losing, it's all part of the big picture, and it's all part of the journey. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
If I worked for you, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
Keep trying.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Who would you be most excited to learn as a fan of your work?
Oh, that's a good question. I would get really excited over... I couldn't really pinpoint like a personality or name, but someone who did completely the opposite of me. Someone that I didn't even know that... I'd get excited if someone that I thought that they didn't even know like surfing existed. Uh-huh. So someone completely off,
okay,
from what I do.
This is not part of my lightning round, but yeah, but I'm curious, how do you think the role of surfing has changed in culture since you started?
I think it's definitely changed. I think the role of surfing has definitely changed a lot since I've started, in the way of it's definitely become more and more of a cultural thing and a lifestyle thing more than ever. And I think the internet, social media, and also just people sharing their even word of mouth of like how awesome it is to live the surf lifestyle,
sure,
has really helped that cause. So I think it's changed a lot from going from a, you know, very core, mm-hmm, very core sport to a fun, social gathering at the beach that you surf as well as it's a full lifestyle more than a sport. Sure. Which a lot of people would argue that it's going more sport, but I think I mean from people I talk to, and I find it really interesting talking to people who never surfed, who are very or surf for the first time or try it, because they're the people that I think are changing the surf culture more than the core people, because they're the masses more than the core is the small inner circle.
Yeah. Okay, what's your favorite city to travel to?
Favorite city to travel to? That's a good question.
I know you've traveled a lot.
I have. Thinking. I mean, traveling in, for a city, like a real city, New York is a lot of fun.
Okay.
If I'm going to go beach.
What about surf spot?
Surf spot, I'm going to say somewhere in Hawaii.
Okay.
That's good, or Bali.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But if I, because when I hear the word city, I think of
city.
Mean, yeah.
Destination. Anyway.
But I think there's good destinations for everything.
Sure.
Yeah, different things.
Yeah. What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Oh, my most watched movie ever. I've seen Cruel Intentions many times.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Great movie. Yeah.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Favorite DJ? I'll probably have to go with Diplo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who else do I like? Yeah, I'll just say Diplo.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you for doing this. It was fun talking to you.
Yes, awesome.
What should we be on the lookout for?
Look out for hopefully some more fun adventures having a good time.
Nice.
Yo, that was Anastasia Ashley on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. Tell us what you think. Leave us a comment on Twitter, on Facebook. Hit our YouTube page for some videos. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.